Dr. Smith, we'll start with you. Where does the state stand right now in using solar energy, and what role do you think the government should take in increasing its use?
Well, Florida has the best solar potential of any state east of the Mississippi River, and it is ranked third in the potential for solar market in the United States because of its population and because of the solar availability. So it has a tremendous potential. Unfortunately, in 2013, it had actually fallen back to 18th in the nation as far as installed solar. And so it is falling back and losing and not taking advantage of its full potential. So that's why on Thursday, April 10th, we're going to be going to Tallahassee to strongly encourage further support of solar by the legislature and the governor. The one thing that we're looking for in this legislative session has been the ability to put on the ballot for November a measure that would remove a certain type of tax called the tangible property tax that would allow companies to come in and offer people what's called third-party leasing for solar, which would help lower the cost so more people could put solar on their home.
And the Senate has been in support of this, but there's the leader in the House is not in favor of it. Is that correct?
Well, there's one gentleman, Representative Workman, who is the chairman of a tax and finance committee that has decided that he won't let the bill come up before his committee. Unfortunately, that is a great problem because it has to move through both chambers, obviously, for it to become get on the ballot. And we're asking that he let the voters decide and that he not stop it. But the reality is there are a lot of very powerful forces, unfortunately, aligned against solar because a number of the investor-owned utilities like Florida Power and Light, Duke Energy, Gulf Power, and others have a financial interest in not wanting to see people generate their own power because they want to sell the power to people instead. And so we have identified that their financial influence and their political influence is really what's behind stopping the bill this year. And so that's why we're coming to Tallahassee to really demand that this is something that the people should be able to vote on, and this is a freedom that Floridians should have.
David Zierden, you're at the Climate Center at FSU. How do these discussions about energy in Florida play into the work that you do, looking at global warming and climate change and the potential effects on our state?
Oh, well, the whole issue of climate change is a global and international issue, but that doesn't mean there's also local solutions and things we can do. And yes, anything we can do to wean ourselves away from fossil fuels and putting more carbon into the atmosphere will be beneficial for everyone in years to come. And then, as we're discussing this morning, the great solar potential that the state of Florida has is really being not tapped as it should be, and it provides a great potential for cutting into the use of fossil fuels.
And Dr. Smith, I understand that solar tends to be very popular among voters. Is this why you're hoping to bring something to the ballot?
That's right. Our polling shows that close to 80% of the people who are surveyed want to see solar become more available and want to have the option to take advantage of using their rooftops or schools or businesses being able to. There's no doubt that it is extremely popular. What we have to do, though, is we have to have smart policies in place to allow that to be done in a sustained, orderly development way so that it can do exactly what was mentioned, which is displace fossil fuels. Significant amount, over close to 70% of the electricity that is generated in the state of Florida now is being generated by natural gas. There's also a significant portion, close to 20%, that is done by coal. And so these sources need to be balanced or replaced, particularly the coal, with cleaner energy sources. And that's why having people in Florida take advantage of the God-given sun that rains down every day on the great state of Florida is, I think, a priority and should be what the legislature and the governor should be embracing.
All right, thank you. We're getting a lot of calls on this issue already. We're going to go now to Bob in St. Augustine. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call this morning at 549-2937. Good morning, Bob. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're talking about this topic. It's to me, it's a very important topic because the future is essentially here, but Florida, or at least the private power corporations in this state, are doing everything they can to hinder the advance and development of the solar industry in Florida. I'd like to make three points of what we can do to increase the incentive and make this much more of a mainstream accepted path that we can take to solar acceptance. The first thing we need to do is we need to make all solar installations tax exempt from property values. That's a disincentive to the decrease in impact we're putting on the power systems. Two, we need to increase the state incentive, and $15 million a year is just paltry. We're having our butts kicked by New Jersey, of all places, and look at our latitude. And we need to take it out of the hands of FPL and make it a state-run thing. Why are we letting a private power corporation administer the Florida rebate? And three, we need to mandate that all power companies need to keep doing full net metering. They are trying right now, FPL, JEA, I know of, are getting ready to stop doing full net metering, which is $1 of power credited to your power bill for every dollar you produce. They're getting ready to cut it to wholesale, which is about 40% of every dollar you produce is only given back to you in credit.
Okay, Bob, thank you very much for that call. Dr. Smith, your reaction to Bob's comments. Dr. Smith, are you there? Okay, maybe we have lost Dr. Smith's call. David Zierden with the state climatologist at the Florida Climate Center at Florida State. Do you have any thoughts on what Bob was talking about related to solar energy?
Hello. This is David Zierden. I don't have any direct thoughts on the policy and the incentives. I'm really not that familiar with them, but I do have an anecdote to share. Just a couple weeks ago, I was visiting the country of Israel on a tour of the Holy Land, and I was amazed to see that every single rooftop over in the country of Israel had a water tank and solar panels on the roof, generating hot water and also helping with their electric use. So, and there is a very similar latitude to Florida, maybe a little more arid in climate, so they actually have more sunshine and less clouds. But that's just a very good illustration of the potential that is there for really cutting into our energy use from fossil fuels.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the dangers. If we don't change the way we look at energy, this is something that you study on a regular basis, and a lot of people feel that, you know, the problem is actually coming sooner than many people think. Can you tell us a little bit about what types of changes we can expect in Florida?
Okay, well, two parts to that question is, one, what kind of changes we've already seen, and what's kind of unique with Florida and also the Southeast, Alabama and Georgia, is that while the rest of the world has warmed, the global average increase in temperature that we've seen over the last century is about 0.85 degrees Celsius or 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. The Southeast United States is one exception that really hasn't seen that warming. Our climate has been more characterized with very warm decades in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, and then a switch to colder decades in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And now we've kind of rebounded. We're back up kind of in the middle right now. But we haven't seen a long-term increase in temperature yet. But we may be seeing changes in rainfall patterns, which can be even more impactful than changes in temperature. There are studies that have shown that we're seeing more rainfall in intense events of 2 inches or greater. a bigger share of our rainfall is coming from these heavier events. So there are changes, but temperature really hasn't been one of them yet. Now, as climate change continues, it really gets a lot more uncertain and what the trajectory of our climate here in the Southeast and in Florida will be. Assuredly, we will probably warm some, but probably not as much as other areas of the globe. But there's so much uncertainty, we really need to be resilient to it and anticipate a whole wide range of changes that could be possible.
Well, thank you for that. We're talking this morning about climate change and solar energy, a rally this week in Tallahassee to encourage the governor and the state legislature to do more to support solar energy in Florida. And you can join the conversation at 549-2937. I'm going to go now to Gil on the south side. Good morning, Gil.
Well, hi. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay, good. Listen, I think solar energy needs to be front and center, certainly in Florida, where the Sunshine State, after all. But there's a number of other renewable resources that we have, energy systems, that need to be taken advantage of. Wave, geothermal, wind. It depends on what part of the country you're in or whether or not it's going to be really useful. Certainly wave would be useful over here. But solar energy is really a good way of doing things. And one of the things that is so annoying to me is that people talk about this 1 degree and how it used to be and all of this stuff, and they don't have the scientific background in order to make these sweeping decisions. I think if you've got the UN saying that there's a climate crisis, we ought to take that seriously. If we've got climate scientists saying that this is really a serious situation, we ought to take that seriously. And we are in kind of an eco-structure. So what happens with one thing also affects everything else. Another thing that's really important to realize is that if we can do something with our office building, because most of us actually spend a lot of time during the day in our office buildings, if we can do something with that, it would save us a tremendous amount of energy. And we need to back away from some of the oil incentives that have kind of pushed us back 40 years, certainly.
Thank you, Gil. And we're also getting emails about incentives that possibly the state should be doing more for incentives for solar power. This from Scott on the South Side. I so agree that solar power should be incentivized. Florida is the Sunshine State, after all. I would love to add solar to my house, but it's just too expensive without incentives. Dr. Smith, can you tell us a little bit about where the state stands on incentives for solar?
Well, as was said, there has been a very modest program that is very rapidly oversubscribed. People should know that the state of Florida sends about $60 billion out of the state to pay for various energy fuels, whether it be natural gas or oil or whatever. And the fact that the state is not investing more in this homegrown sunshine that we have and using it to power an increasing percentage of the energy we need, I think is mismanagement and poor government, and we have poor policy. The beauty, though, of solar is the prices have dropped so dramatically in the last few years that the level of incentive needed is becoming less. And as was discussed earlier, if we get the tax policy right, there are companies that will come in and actually take the upfront cost of the solar systems, which is difficult for people to do, and spread them out through a leasing arrangement where they're actually paying less on their bill through the leasing arrangement than they would if they were just getting power from the company. That is what the private power companies that was referenced earlier are so scared about, because if we open up this third-party leasing option, then it'll buy down those upfront costs, more people will have solar, and more solar will be deployed in our state. So it's not only the incentives that's needed, it's actually freeing the market and opening the market for forms of competition so that people can take advantage of the companies that want to lower those costs.
Our guest this morning, Dr. Stephen Smith with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And David Zierden, the state climatologist at the Florida Climate Center at Florida State, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 549-2937. David Zierden, what about the other part of Gil's question there when he talked about the lack of understanding of the science? Do you face this a lot in dealing with the general public and in talking to the state legislature about climate issues?
Yeah, that is definitely prevalent, a lack of understanding, and also a large part is a lack of concern. There was a recent Gallup poll that listed about 15, I believe, different voter worries, and climate change was actually second to last on the list of what voters worry about, well behind things like the economy, jobs, et cetera. So that's always a problem, is just the awareness, and also there's a lot of polarizing opinions out there. The science itself is a little clearer than people tend to make it out. We have definitely changed the composition of the atmosphere, and the general climate system is undergoing some changes and will continue to because of that. The debate gets on just how drastic these changes are. Are we going to be able to adapt to them, or how much energy do we need to put towards mitigating climate change by reducing our CO2 emissions? And certainly both prongs of action are needed in order to deal with this problem in the coming century and decades.
And there seems to be a lot of interest in solar energy, just judging on the number of calls we're getting this morning. We'll go now to Barry in Mandarin, who's been on hold for quite a while. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. I'm actually a HOA president here, and one of the things that's frustrating me is the bylaws prevent me from putting solar in my community. And with all the renters we have right now, getting any of the bylaws changed is pretty difficult with a 66% vote to get required. And one thing I'd love to see is a state legislature make it where HOAs can't ban solar, and that it's actually required with all new housing construction. That way it's part of it. And for existing homes, JDA, what about them leasing out the our roofs? I've actually contacted JDA about possibly trying to get a leasing agreement for the 213 communities with hundreds of thousands of square feet of available solar coverage.
Thanks, Barry. Dr. Stephen Smith, anything like that in the works?
Well, I think it's an excellent idea. There are countries that require new construction to have, I know Israel, as my understanding is, requires that a lot of new construction have solar thermal.
Mm-hmm.
With
we were just hearing about
water.
That.
Yeah, and so there are requirements. Unfortunately, this current set of elected officials we have in Tallahassee chooses to oppose things that are requirements for renewable energy, and that's unfortunate. That's why the rally is so important on Thursday, April 10th, to get people to come out and show the strong support and to sign up and be able to communicate. On our website at cleanenergy.org, there's lots of ways to communicate with the elected officials and the governor. This governor's race is going to be very critical because we have a very stark difference of opinion between the existing governor and some of the challengers about what we should do, not only about climate change, but also about renewable energy. So people have an opportunity, I think, to get leadership in place that would be more responsive to the challenges Florida faces with climate change, particularly sea level rise and extreme weather, other things like that. And also get proactive policies that we can do some of the things that the callers are outlining.
Let's take one more call. Therese in San Marco. Good morning, Therese. What is your question?
I just wanted to just throw out some facts. I just wanted to let you know Angela Merkel is, by 2020, generating 35% of Germany's power with renewables. There's a book called The Third Industrial Revolution that should be seen. Geoengineers and Exxon are now claiming there's climate change, and Earth Masters, the book, is going to disclose that they're going to inject particles of hydrogen sulfide into the air, which will dim sunlight and actually damage a solar industry, and will lower the temperatures. So they're not in denial of climate change, but they're actually planning to deal with it by engineering it, by putting pollutants into the air. So we the people need to demand our government on this very issue, take us back to solar and wind. And lastly, to get it to the people need to understand that jobs depend on the solar and wind industries. Once you drill a well and that one man makes all that money with his natural gas company, he's not really going to need to hire anyone once that well is tapped. So you have to understand that building those solar panels and all those turbines are jobs. So you want to, the way that people need to understand this is never mind money and cost, this is jobs. And we need to fight for those jobs.
Thanks, Therese. David Zeerden, are you familiar with any of the engineering ideas that she was talking about there?
I'm familiar with the concept, but I'm not aware of any push to actually go ahead and start implementing some of these ideas. Yeah, the theory is that the aerosols or small particle, the hydrogen sulfate, would kind of counteract the warming by blocking some of the sunlight. But again, that's just a theory, and I don't think anyone is ready to further tamper with our atmosphere trying to correct for greenhouse gases.
Okay, Dr. Stephen Smith, what about jobs from the solar industry? Would this be a job-creating proposition?
Absolutely. In the states that have the more forward-thinking policies, we're actually seeing a clean energy boom happening. There are a number of states that are seeing tremendous spikes in employment. The good thing about solar jobs is that they can't be outsourced in the sense that the installers are going to be local folks in the community. They're going to be labor-intensive in the sense that people are going to be putting these things in on people's roofs, and it gives the opportunity to really go back in with a lot of existing housing stock and add these components to the housing stock, or actually build them in when new homes are being built. So it's a real opportunity if you can be lucky enough to land some manufacturing capacity, because your state, a number of manufacturers have located in states where they've had really forward-thinking policies. So Florida really needs to step up and take advantage of this. You know, let's get to work investing in the solar industry and getting to work investing in clean energy, because there's so many benefits that would flow to the state, and economic development is certainly one of them.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap up this conversation. David Zeerden, the state climatologist at FSU, your brief closing thoughts.
I applaud this effort to make solar energy more readily available to the state of Florida, and anything we can do to rely more on renewable energy and cut down our use of fossil fuels will not only help the state and the state's economy, but it will also contribute to the solution of this global problem of climate change.
And Dr. Stephen Smith with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. The rally in Tallahassee is Thursday, starting at 11 o'clock. You'll be there. And who else is going to be at that rally?
Well, we're going to have some students from FSU that are going to be speaking. We're going to have some local politicians. We're going to have some leaders from different political persuasions that are going to be talking about the importance of this. Again, cleanenergy.org, www.cleanenergy.org. You can go there or go to our Facebook page. You can learn about this. You can follow what we're doing. This is just the first of what we hope are a series of things that are going to be building over the course of the year where we get some new leadership. But it is. Florida is a sunshine state. This just makes too much sense for us to continue to ignore.